Has the Rams' nearest competitor in the division finally made a decision at quarterback, and what does it mean for the LA Rams?
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. My name is Travis Rogers. I host the Rams pregame show, postgame show, and halftime show on their flagship station, ESPN 710, right here in Los Angeles. Make sure you follow me on Twitter under my name, at Travis Rogers. And of course, you got to subscribe to Locked On Rams as well. Click that subscription tab on your podcast feed and make sure that you're watching us on the YouTube channel as well, our Locked On Rams YouTube feed. Is there free and available for you every single day as well. Thanks for making us a part of your podcast routine. We got a good one scheduled for you today. Sean McVay made a little bit of another commitment to the area, to the Rams, and at least, you know, to his pocketbook, and something that's much more likely to keep him here in town for a while. That's coming up in just a little bit. And our old pal Jeff Fisher made another coaching debut in the USFL over the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that and just kind of reflect a little bit on what the Jeff Fisher era was like here in Los Angeles not that long ago. But let's jump right into it. Let's start right here about what the 49ers may have already decided what they're going to do with their quarterback situation. What does that mean for the Rams moving forward? According to a report on ESPN over the weekend, the 49ers have allegedly told Trey Lance, who they spent the third pick on the draft one draft ago, third pick overall, that he is going to be their quarterback for the upcoming season. Of course, that's not a huge surprise, but it became a little bit more of something that to keep your eye on, I think, because the 49ers have not been able to move Jimmy G. Jimmy G, of course, recovering from an injury, and then, you know, obviously, you know, trying to trade a guy, move a guy when he's in the midst of recovering from an injury, not the easiest thing in the world to do. But we know that this was something that has been a long time coming, but he's not gone yet. And he just took them to the NFC Championship game a year ago. Jimmy G is one of those quarterbacks that has to be incredibly difficult to wrap your head around as a fan of the San Francisco 49ers. And I think that Rams fans are uniquely qualified to do exactly that, because the situation with Garoppolo is not all that different than the situation that the Rams had with Jared Goff a few years ago, which is he's good, but is he good enough? He's good enough to get us to where we want to go, assuming everything else goes exactly according to plan, that if the defense plays at a very high level, that if the other offensive players can function at a very high level, if you give him lots of time, if you can play with a lead, if you don't ask him to do too many things, Jimmy Garoppolo is just fine. Sound a lot like Jared Goff, right? But I think a lot like the Rams, they decided good enough is not good enough. We need to get a little bit better at that position, and they decided to move to Trey Lance. Now, they didn't use him much last year, a little bit here and there, but Jimmy Garoppolo had a very, very typical Jimmy Garoppolo year. Statistically, not all that impressive, but when you look at it through the Rams lens, and why wouldn't we? It's Locked On Rams after all. It becomes a little bit more complicated. Ask yourself this question, Rams fans. Did you like seeing Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers? Your first reaction is probably not. It didn't bother me at all. Great, bring it on. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo can be their quarterback from now until the end of time. Okay. Do you know that Jimmy Garoppolo had never lost to the Rams until the NFC Championship game? You probably did know that. Now, was he the reason you never lost? Maybe not, but he had never lost to the Rams. We saw him towards the end of the regular season when he was able to drive that team the length of the field, score a touchdown with just about 80 seconds or so left to go to win that game. He was probably at his best against the LA Rams. The 49ers have been the Rams' kryptonite really since Sean McVay has had trouble with virtually nobody in this league. Now, that doesn't mean you don't lose a game occasionally, because it's the NFL. You're going to lose some games every year. But the one team that has had his number has been the San Francisco 49ers, has been Kyle Shanahan, has been Jimmy Garoppolo, has been, you know, even Nick Mullins and some other guys have had some moments in there as the quarterback where the Rams have had trouble with San Francisco. I'm not so sure that it's a quarterback thing for the Rams as it's a schematic thing, right? That just the way that they go about it. Now, I do, again, haven't seen a ton of Trey Lance, didn't see much of him in college, saw very little of him this year as the quarterback for the Niners. But if he is kind of one of these dual threat guys, and it feels like that's kind of what they're anticipating for him, I think I kind of like that. Because think of the guys that we've seen in this conference over the years that have been, and in the division in particular, the dual threat guys that we've seen. Kyler Murray. Have the Rams struggled with Kyler Murray? Nope. Is Trey Lance going to be as good as Kyler Murray? Probably not. Think about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a tremendous NFL player. Russell Wilson is going to end up in the Hall of Fame. The Rams struggle with Russell Wilson? Not so much. They've been able to play really competitive games against the Seahawks, beat them more often than not, including times when the Rams really weren't even what they've become over the last few years, which is, if not the best team in the division, one of the best teams in the division. Having a dual quarterback like that, I think, probably plays into the Rams' hands a little bit. I think because of what the Rams do defensively, I think one of the things that Jimmy G was so effective at was that he wasn't trying to do too much. There wasn't a lot on his plate. There was turn it around and hand it to the running back, throw it to Deebo Samuel, throw it to George Kittle, and don't throw it to the wrong team and get rid of it quickly. They weren't asking much of him. And that worked very well against the Rams. The Rams had a great deal of trouble with San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, all of a sudden, if you're asking a young quarterback to make some decisions, to be a dual threat guy, when you get a little bit of that if-then scenario, that's when the Rams defense tees off on guys. That's when Aaron Donald can really get going. That's when Jalen Ramsey becomes more effective. Throw Bobby Wagner into the mix, somebody that knows this division really well on that side of the ball. And I think that plays in, as average as Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers may be, against the Rams, it felt like he was a very, very effective guy, and I don't mind at all that they're going in a different direction. In fact, I don't know where Jimmy G is going to go. It's not going to be inside the division, obviously, but I don't need to have that guy. Look, I get it. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not even Kyler Murray, except for when he plays against the Rams and they find a way to do it, because he keeps it pretty simple. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He doesn't make a lot of big mistakes. And that's something that the Rams struggled with. A rookie quarterback or a guy in his second year who hasn't played very much? We'll see. We'll see. I like where the Rams are in this. And if they want to go to Trey Lance, and that's reportedly what they've told him, that he's going to be the starter moving forward, I think that's probably pretty good news for the Rams. Because as you see it, that's probably the team that you're going to deal with the most in the division. Seattle feels like they're in the middle of a rebuild. You know, they got rid of Russell Wilson. Arizona has been that team, the kind of the anti-49ers, right? That's the one team that the Rams, they're the get-right team and have been for a very long time. They've only lost one game to Arizona in the Sean McVay era. That was earlier last season, and then they certainly made that right both on that Monday night game during the COVID situation where the Rams were missing a bunch of guys, and then during that wild card playoff run where the Rams just absolutely put them on them in game one. So that dual-threat quarterback that Trey Lance might bring to the table for San Francisco, I think is something that's going to play really, really well for the Rams along the way. Okay, so Jeff Fisher, speaking of coaches, he's back in a professional league, not the NFL exactly, but boy, oh boy, if it doesn't look familiar. That's coming up in just a second. All right, so you've heard me talk about Athletic Greens now for a few weeks. About a month or so ago, I started taking AG1 every single morning, and it has been remarkable how much it has changed the way that I feel, and really in a couple of different ways, right? It's helped with my gut health unbelievably. It's just something that I used to struggle with a little bit, and now I have absolutely no problem with that at all. I have an amazing little bounce of energy early in the day, and I really don't have that fade throughout the rest of the day, and it's incredibly easy to take. You take one scoop in the morning, put it in the bottle with a little bit of water. You drink it down. It tastes pretty good. It's kind of a mild tropical taste. It doesn't taste like something that is hard to get down, like this vitamin health supplement kind of thing. It's a very pleasant taste along the way, and you just feel good when you're doing it because you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, all these things to help you start off your day right. And it is just so easy to do it. You wake up, you put it in the bottle, you shake it up, and you drink it down, and you're ready to go. And this is what the whole idea of AG1 is. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, daily free, gluten free, all of these things. It makes it very, very easy. And you're thinking, yeah, okay, makes you feel good, gut health, energy, all of that stuff, but it's probably pretty expensive, right? It's not. It's less than $3 a day. And if you think of it like you're investing in your health, it's cheaper than that cup of coffee that you're buying yourself every single day. It's certainly cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance, and it tastes good, and you're going to feel unbelievable. So here's how you do it. You reclaim your health, you arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, and it's just one scoop and a cup of water every single day. I do it right when I wake up. You feel good. You get the little bounce. It tastes good. All that stuff. No need to take a million different pills and supplements just to look out. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Let me give it to you one more time. athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Let me remind you again about our friends at betonline.net. It's your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. In fact, I'm looking at this right now. The Dodgers are currently plus 240 to win the National League West. So not a ton of value right there because the Dodgers are as good as they are. But maybe you're thinking you can kind of go the other way, maybe go to the other league. Angels, a little bit more value right there, plus 1,200 to win their division, and they are off to a good start as well. Point of this, all of it is on Bet Online. They've got your continued source for all your sports wagering information from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Listen up, because it is time for a big announcement. Starting Thursday, April 28th, that's a week from this upcoming Thursday, you're going to want to tune into Locked On NFL's draft live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft with all 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team might take, catch Odyssey and Locked On NFL's Mock Draft Special, hosted by Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. That is all week leading up to the first pick. Here's where you find the Locked On NFL Draft live. You go to the Locked On NFL Draft YouTube page. That's on April 28th, 4 Pacific. The following day is a Friday. That's April 29th. That's at 3:30 Pacific. And then Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. on April 30th. As for the mock draft, you can find that at Odyssey and the Locked On NFL Draft podcast feeds. That's coming up April 18th, starting today, all the way through the 22nd and the 25th. So the USFL rebooted over the weekend. Maybe you saw some of it. If you're listening to this podcast, obviously the odds of you being a pretty diehard football fan are a pretty big deal. So maybe you checked out a little of the spring league, right? I'm curious. I'm not going to lie. I'm always interested in a little football along the way. And I did check out a little USFL action over the weekend. Let's just say a little bit of a mixed bag and more of the bag that you wouldn't want than the bag that you would. First place I saw was a fumble and a scoop and score run back about 95 yards. And the guy that was running the ball ran out of gas with about 30 yards to go. The good news was the guy was chasing him, ran out of gas with about 40 yards to go. So not the cleanest football you've ever seen in your life. But our old pal Jeff Fisher is back again. Of course, Jeff Fisher, longtime NFL head coach, Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, St. Louis Rams, LA Rams. So certainly somebody that had been around a long time. And maybe you're thinking, you know, time goes by, you start to think a little bit differently. Maybe you remember things a little bit more fondly than the actual one, the nostalgia. You know, the time makes you feel better about certain things as it goes by. Just kind of, there was a graphic that I saw that just, it made me laugh out loud. And it made me feel good for where the Rams are right now, because we haven't had to deal with this in a very long time. The first season that the Rams came back to LA back in 2016, Jeff Fisher, of course, talked about it on Hard Knocks when they were reintroducing the team. And we're not going to have any more of this 7-9 BS was the takeaway, right? And they weren't. They were 4-12. It was 7-9 would have been a miracle at that point. It was 4-12, and it was a disastrous season. Basically after the first 4 weeks, believe it or not, that season they started 3-1, and it was one of those deals that they were 3-1, and everybody that had watched the start of the season go, this is a terrible football team. Usually you get off to a 3-1 start, you think, okay, we got a chance to do some stuff here. This was not the case with that. It was a terrible football team along the way, coached by Jeff Fisher. That, of course, led to Todd Gurley talking about how it was a middle school offense and all the things that ultimately led to Sean McVay being hired and them scoring 30 points a game and going to a couple of Super Bowls in 5 years and all the good stuff that's come along the way. The, let's see here, 6 drives in a row for Jeff Fisher's team along the way. So Jeff Fisher is the head coach of the Michigan Panthers, okay? And these 6 drives in a row that they had, tell me if this doesn't bring back all of your memories about Jeff Fisher as the head coach of the Rams. They had a three-play drive that went 2 yards, and they punted. That is the greatest Jeff Fisher stat ever. They followed that up with a 2-play drive that gained no yards, and they punted. I don't know how you have a 2-play drive with no yards and punt. I don't know what the rules are in the USFL. They followed that up with what, for all intents and purposes, is an offensive explosion under Jeff Fisher. 8 plays, 48 yards, and they fumbled. So, you know, some things never really change along the way. Then an 8-play drive for 32 yards and a punt. Then a 3-play drive for 3 yards and a fumble. And then a 5-play drive with 12 yards and an interception. So punt, punt, fumble, punt, fumble, interception. 3 turnovers and 3 punts in six drives for a grand total of less than 100 yards of total offense and averaging about 4 plays per drive. Tell me that doesn't bring you back to some really bummer football for the Rams over the years. Just watching them run it into the line of scrimmage. And when I saw this, I couldn't help but think it. And you go back to the final year of Jeff Fisher here in L.A., the only year of Jeff Fisher here in L.A., his final year as the head coach of the Rams. And they were in Detroit taking on the Lions. And the Rams had the ball, I think it was first and goal from the 1 or 2 yard line. I'm going by memory here, but this is very, very close. First and goal from the 2, turned into second and goal from the 3, turned into third and goal from the 5, turned into we're going to go for it, incomplete pass. It was one of those moments where you almost couldn't even get mad, where you almost just had to say, oh, we have a guy that does not understand how this works. That this the NFL, the days of, well, we're going to man up and we're going to physical football. No, you're going the wrong way. And by the way, the Lions were bad. The Lions were not the New England Patriots at this point. Not that they ever have been, but this was a bad team that they couldn't get it in. And it was Todd Gurley for a 1 yard loss, Todd Gurley for a 2 yard loss, Todd Gurley for a 1 yard loss. Case Keenum throws the ball incomplete and the Lions take over on downs. And watching that USFL game for a little bit and seeing that graphic, I'm like, oh my goodness. And the point of all of this is to just, Rams fans, when you get a moment, just kind of thank whoever is in charge of the universe and deciding which head coach you get and when you get him, that the universe decided to place Sean McVay in Los Angeles on the heels of Jeff Fisher. Because had he been allowed to come back for a second year, or if one of his proteges had been allowed to be turned loose on the LA Rams, who knows what they're doing here in town? It's a football team that exists that maybe people go and see occasionally, but it's nothing like what they have right now, which is one of the more innovative front offices, which is one of the more innovative offenses, I should say, something that has an NFL coaching tree that is bearing fruit across the league. A team that is at the forefront of doing the draft differently, a team that is the forefront of operating in free agency differently. And this is literally the exact opposite of everything they did under Jeff Fisher. So it was just a nice little palate cleanser, a nice little reminder that things were very, very bad for a period of time, and now they're very, very good. If nothing else, the USFL kind of just reminded us how lucky we are here as Rams fan to have Sean McVay as the head coach of the team that we all root for. All right, so speaking of Sean McVay, we'll talk about a little real estate action that he has going on here in the area before too long, and it's actually very good news for the Rams as well. But first, Rock Auto. You've seen the commercials on TV, right? You've heard me talk about them here all the time as well. If you are a do-it-yourselfer on your car, how about this? How does 30%, 50%, even 100% more savings on your parts, how does that sound, right? From a chain store, a car dealership, these are the sorts of places. They might not even have it in the first place, and if they do, you're going to have to wait. And if they do have it, they're going to stick you for it. Like, for instance, Honda Odyssey, a fuel pump, $353 at a chain store, $216 for Rock Auto, and they have everything that you could need. Discover whatever you got going there. They've got it. They've got new carpets. They've got oil. They've got tail lamps, brake parts. If you need it for your car, they've got it at Rock Auto. Go check it out right now. Explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to all of your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you get there, write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you over there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So a couple of Rams were pretty active in the local real estate market over the last couple of days, weeks, and months along the way. Matthew Stafford bought two houses from Drake, musician Drake, for $11 million recently. One parcel for $5 million, the other one for $6 million. That, of course, on the heels of him spending nearly $20 million on another home a little bit earlier. You know, you get that new deal like that, you gotta spread out a little bit and find a little real estate action for you. So that's good news, and congratulations to the Staffords for that. But how about this? Sean McVay has picked up a new house as well. $14 million in the Hidden Hills area of town. The 9,000 square foot house has 6 bedrooms, 7 baths, has a pool. It has a view of the hills. It's sitting on about an acre and a half of land. It is a very, very impressive place. You look at some of the pictures that you see online, and it looks like the home of somebody who just won the Super Bowl. It looks like the home of somebody who looks like they're enjoying their life. And Sean McVay certainly appears to be a guy that's enjoying his life. What does it mean for football? Maybe nothing, but I also think there's a little bit of something to be said about a guy that's willing to make an investment like that. Look, I get it. This is Los Angeles. This is Southern California. And the real estate market here is just bonkers. It's just crazy, right? And you probably can sell a $14 million house here better than you could, say, if you had a $14 million house in, oh, I don't know, Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's probably fewer buyers looking for something like that in an NFL market like that. But I also do think it speaks to him understanding and knowing, and the team understanding and knowing that he's going to be here for a very long time. This is not a fluke. This is not something where they got very, very lucky. Now, they've been very fortunate along the way because, like we've talked about, right, the less need window, you need to know where you are in your window and when to maximize your opportunities inside that window. And we've talked about it. The window is basically Aaron Donald. The window, to a lesser degree, is Matthew Stafford. And they're going for it right now. But let's talk about this for a second. Sean McVay popped into this organization 5 years ago, and this team did not have Matthew Stafford. Cooper Kupp was a rookie. We did not know what that was going to look like. Aaron Donald was still one of the best players in football, but the roster was very different. And he took that roster to the Super Bowl in 2 seasons. And then they basically rebuilt the entire team, minus Aaron Donald and Andrew Whitworth and a couple of other players, but more or less rebuilt the entire team and went and won the Super Bowl again, or went to the Super Bowl again and won it this time. That's not good luck. That is being incredibly good at what you do. That is being arguably maybe one of the best to have ever done it. Now, he's got a long way to go, right? When you look at some guys that have had incredible success in this league, you know, certainly Bill Belichick comes to mind. He's probably the greatest coach of all time. You look at a guy like Pete Carroll up in Seattle, been to a couple of Super Bowls, won one, a team that is perpetually in the mix along the way. You look at somebody like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, who's has never had a losing record in this league. You know, guys like that, guys that have been in a place for. Andy Reid was in Philadelphia forever and ever to a great deal of success, immediately goes to Kansas City, has a great deal of success there, goes to a couple of Super Bowl, wins ones along the way. But what's that, 3 or 4 guys? Sean McVay is doing all the things that they're doing, but with the exception of Bill Belichick. He's been to as many Super Bowls as Pete Carroll, won the same amount. He's been to, you know, has the same amount of Super Bowl wins as Mike Tomlin, same amount of Super Bowl wins as Andy Reid, and he's just getting started. As good as he is, he's only been doing it for 5 years. He's still in his mid-30s. What's he going to be in his early 40s, his mid-40s? And I think that the answer is he's going to be better than he is today, and I think the answer is he's going to be doing it here in town. Nobody has a crystal ball, right? Who knows what's coming around for any of us? You just don't know. But if you had to place a bet, because where's he going to go? What offer is out there that's better than what he has here? He lives in one of the most desirable places in the country. He's wildly wealthy, so the cost prohibitiveness of this place that affects you and me and just about everybody else that's here isn't really a factor in his life. He's got plenty of money. He has an owner that's willing to spend. He's got a state-of-the-art stadium. He's got, by all accounts, a very functioning, healthy relationship with his general manager. He's got one of the transcendent defensive players ever. And he's got a team that has demonstrated that when it's time to go get somebody else, they'll go do it. He's got the city in the palm of his hand. Where is he going to go? What's the offer? Now the tricky part may be something like TV. Saw that Amazon made a run at him, and the TV is here, right? So wherever, you know, ultimately he ends up going for television, it's probably something that you could do from Los Angeles. But we've talked about this a lot on the pod. That's why you got to subscribe. Click the little plus button on your Apple podcast feed. There are no better opportunities than this. They don't exist. There might be some that are as good, but what are you looking to go do? Where are you looking to go do it? Who are you looking to go do it for? This is the spot. And that he landed here right out of the chute is incredibly fortuitous for Rams fans, incredibly fortuitous for him, because let's say, I don't know, I'm just trying to say, let's say the Jacksonville Jags, for the first time in their life, decided to do the right thing and went after Sean McVay and landed him. And he's there, but ownership is what it is. The market is what it is. Maybe they don't have an Aaron Donald on their team. And maybe he takes them from terrible to pretty good. Okay, there's still a lot of room to go to other places. There's New York, there's Los Angeles, there's Chicago. He's in one of these places. And when you see somebody buy a house like that, and again, I get it. This is LA. There's probably many, many, many houses for $14 million. But hey, he's making an investment in the town. The team has made an investment on him. You sure they're going to get a new deal before too long? Whenever he wants one, I'm sure that'll get done shortly thereafter. But seeing that makes you feel very good about where the Rams are, that he's not looking to go somewhere else, and everything else that comes along with being the head coach of the Rams seems to be clicking in place, and now he's got himself a beautiful home to go along with it. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked on Rams. Thanks for us for making your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen, Locked on NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bringing the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It, too, is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked on Rams' house.